for your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's
live from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at the Avenue.
Party,
this is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Of you streaming right now on YouTube, on the Wisconsin On Demand app, or on Twitter at Scalzo and Russ. Sometimes we just need to like click the mics on with all four of us.
I know. I just chatted up with the boys.
Yeah. Tony, Homer and Tony.
Homer
Tony
had Smith. That mischievous smirk going.
I love when he's got that smirk going.
There's something about it. You just want to engage with it. You can't just let him like, when he's got that look, you can't just let him walk out. You got to get a little taste of what's in that mind.
It's a scary place. Tony Smith is just shaking his head right now.
Well, he has to deal with it every day from 2 to 4, so he's like, yeah, I got my fix.
He gets to deal with it every day. What a privilege it is.
As he walks out and is like, I'm out of here.
Ben Brust, Greg Scalzo, Joshy DiMaggio. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling, texting 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-ESPN. Alex Strofe running the show back at the ESPN Madison Studios downtown off the Capitol Square. Alex Strofe, the official and unofficial number one fan of Michael Cera of the Scalzo and Brust family, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was great in The Social Network, wasn't he?
Jesse Eisenberg, actually.
Yeah, I learned that yesterday. I guess I don't know the difference. They look exactly alike.
Two different
people. It's not
people.
My fault.
Good call. They definitely look very similar.
They literally do not look.
Nope.
To our brains, inaccurate. I'm with you, Strofe.
To you and
they look
Strofe,
exactly
I agree.
Alike.
Because you guys just archetype them into nerdy actor, and you're like, yeah, same guy.
Correct.
They look exactly the same. They look like they could be identical twin brothers.
I don't know how to tell you they don't.
Because you're wrong. You'd be wrong by telling me
look
that.
Look at pictures of them.
They have a side-by-side photo of them. They look exactly alike.
They have different color eyes. They have different shaped faces.
Can identical twins have different colored eyes?
No,
is that
they're identical twins. They have the same DNA.
Identical.
Oh, my God.
But every feature is identical?
I mean, of all the ones that are identical, the eyes are going to be pretty
all right,
profoundly
if I could jump
then.
In here to defend Strofe,
Benny,
which I don't
please,
want
Benny,
to.
Benny, please.
Identical twins do
twins.
Have things that are different about them.
Okay, if you look different than your twin, you are not an identical twin.
No, that, I know what the first, but identical twins, you can tell identical twins apart.
Not based on eye color.
No, I'm not saying eye color.
Eyes automatically makes it impossible to be identical.
I don't think it's impossible. I think that's too strong. I bet it's possible.
Strofe, there's another word for twins that aren't
well, fraternal.
Identical.
I'm familiar with fraternal twins, but you can be an identical twin. You can have all the same features, same hair color, but one could have like hazel eyes and one could have brown eyes.
No,
I think it's possible.
You know how I know it's not is because you went hazel and brown right there. You didn't go blue and brown. You went hazel and brown because you're wrong, but you're trying to get a little bit of an inch and you think I'm going to give it to you because we shouldn't be starting here because Garrett Mitchell just hit a walk-off to bring the Brewers to a 5-1 start, and here I am arguing about Jesse Eisenberg versus Michael Cera, but I ain't
good
giving
job,
you an
Strofe.
Inch on
you got
that.
Him.
I ain't giving
you,
you
got
an
him.
Inch on that. If you
give me a mile,
Skiles.
Give me a mile.
You have the same DNA, and that determines your eye color.
Before we shout out Garrett Mitchell real quick, can I get a wee?
Miley.
How about our guy from 5 years ago? 100th career win. Are you kidding me? Max Scherzer, who?
Couldn't have done it without us.
Weed Miley. Miley.
Yeah, that was an incredible performance by Wade Miley yesterday as the Brewers went back-to-back-to-back home runs during the game. The offense is popping. You take that into today when the Brewers were down, heading into the bottom of the ninth, and the game ended just like this, courtesy of the Brewers Radio Network.
And the pitch.
For those who say he's lost a step, get out of my face forever.
Doesn't get a better home run call than that right there.
Can I just get the click of the bat over and over again? Like the audio, oh, that is just, that's one of the best. I know we can do like the what's the best sound in sports thing. There's something about a click of the wooden bat right on the meat of the barrel.
Hit him!
Can we get a cleanup here in the studio? 800-990-3776 and 800-990-ESPN. The number to get into the show. Garrett Mitchell, one of the young Brewers stars so far that's been so entertaining to watch throughout the beginning of this season is once again the Brewers are off to a 5-1 start. Bob Uecker on the call there. But when you look at some of the offense that's being provided, you heard Rick Schlesinger talk about it before the season started, comparing some of this young core to the Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, Ricky Weeks core of years ago, Corey Hart core of years ago. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, oh, that's great. That's like that might be a little bit of blue and gold colored glasses. And yet what Bryce Terang, and I know we're only 6 games into the season, but what Terang and Mitchell and Weimer have done so far through this short beginning of the season here has to put a lot of confidence into Brewers fans. It has to build a lot of confidence about what this offense can be to complement a pitching staff where Corbin Burnes is a down, you know, first 2 starts, not what you'd ask for from your Cy Young winning starting pitcher. You've certainly got some help now with Wade Miley back in
Wade
the rotation.
Freddie Could you Peralta imagine having well. Wade as your fifth? Whew, that's amazing.
You've got a really, really good rotation. And now all of a sudden, if the offense clicks and this Brewers organization starts to believe and these Brewers fans start to believe, I think you can start to really get confident that throughout the season, you'll be able to round out the back end of that bullpen, which I said even heading into the season was my overarching concern.
And when your overarching concern is back end of the bullpen with the Brewers, somehow, some way, it typically usually finds its way in working itself out. Who would have thought that losing Luis Urias, though, would have opened up the opportunity to bring Weimer up and like just like find like this energy? The Brewers are known for this opposite kind of start. We're like, all right, you know, it's kind of cold outside. They started at Wrigley, found a way to win that series, then grinded their way to a win after blowing the Mets out in the first 2 games. It's easy to say right now, but I've seen a lot of people saying it. This has been more exciting than it was the entire 162 last year through 6 games. Now, I think that's a little unfair, but also...
It's unfair, but you could also feel the vibes being different, right? Last year felt like a team that had been successful for 4 straight years, that was trying to continue that success, and yet it just felt like nothing was ever clicking the right way. The mere excitement, like the young guys have brought in, but the excitement around the team, the cheesehead celebration, like all of that stuff, as goofy as it sounds, to me plays a massive role into just in baseball, such a momentum driven sport. It plays a massive role as far as how much fun it's going to be to follow this team because they're going to hit skids. It's a long season. It's 162 games, but the idea that you have a 5-game winning streak this early on in the season, and to take 3 against the Mets, who many picked is a World Series favorite heading into this year with a $300 million payroll, north of $300 million.
Basically double of the Brewers.
And to win 10-0, 9-0, and then have a walk-off home run from Garrett Mitchell, who is the best known of the young players coming into this season after you had a Terang Grand Slam and a back-to-back-to-back home run in the
with
middle.
With a different back-to-back as well.
Like, you couldn't have asked for a better start for this team for this fan base, for these young players. And I hope that this gets captured. And it's amazing to hear Craig Counsell talk openly about it. Like, yeah, the excitement is here. Like, this has been more fun and entertaining than a lot of what we saw last year. And coming off of an end of the season last year, after Hader got traded, when it felt like there might just be some negative feelings all around the organization between player and front office, to the offseason where Corbin Burns' arbitration headlines overshadowed everything else, to now all of a sudden, 6 games in, all that seems like ancient history.
Except for Corbin's performance, but yes.
Bravo.
I mean, that's hard to do, especially like, now I got myself thinking is like, holy cow, there are some comparisons. Star player, Cy Young guy, off-season, young core coming in, excitement in the start of the season. The Packers do this? I don't have faith that they do.
It's an interesting comparison because you're right. The Packers are going to have Jordan Love and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Now, none of those guys are necessarily rookies. We'll see what the rookie class looks like heading into this Packers season. But I think it's an interesting question. Like, who are you more confident in right now as a young core? Is it the Milwaukee Brewers or is it the Green Bay Packers? We can put that out to the Scals and Russ family. 800-990-3776, 800-990-ESPN. Now, I know that you have more young players on a 53-man roster than you do on a 25-man roster, but overall, who do you have more confidence in? This young core for the Brewers coming in and making an impact on what the Brewers can do in 2023, or that young core and the Packers being able to elevate their game to make an impact on the Packers being a playoff team in 2023? 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776, Twitter at Scalzo and Brewers.
I mean, the easy answer for me is the Brewers. Mostly because when you look at the roster and the impact of the guys that, like, you talk about Devin Williams, who got the win today, who's stepping into a closer role. You think about Corbin Burns, despite, you know, arbitration this offseason, was somebody that was homegrown through the system. You look at a guy like Freddie Peralta, who's your fourth starter, by the way, and had an unbelievable first outing after a shaky first inning. Like, there's proof, right? Like, if we asked the audience about what their thoughts are about Brian Gutekunst as a general manager drafting players, I don't think the response would be quite as positive as if you think about the Brewers and how they've been able to develop these young guys into key pieces. And yeah, sure, maybe they reach a peak where you have to shift them off because of the market size, but the Brewers have done a good job.
Matt from West Bend asks, can we get Terangatang trending as a nickname, patent pending?
Josh, are you working on that?
No, that's terrible.
Whoa.
Sadler and Madison says it's a little bit long. Terangatang is a little bit long. Uh-huh. I think it's not terrible,
Terangatang.
Though.
Terangatang!
It's kind of catchy. It feels more like a... I don't know. Feels more like a play-by-play nickname than something you would like say to a buddy in the stadium, like, hey, man, can't wait to see what Terangatang does today. But I could hear like a, and he does it again, Terangatang. Sadler and Madison wants to know from
Bob
you,
Uecker
Benny,
you right now.
Would rather, would, I wish I had Bob, I mean,
what is my wee-wee doing right now?
I knew I was walking right into that trap as soon as I started that sentence. You could hear what I was going to say. Sadler and Madison says, Benny, crack of the bat, swish of the net. What's a better sound?
Crack of the bat.
Ron and the Key, having Wade Miley as your fifth is like having your one under 6 foot player be a former Final Four Division I shooting guard in the Holy Cross tournament over the weekend.
When's Ron going to stop with the digs, the 6 foot digs?
You know, he's 6 feet. I will defend you on this, Ron. Ben is 6 feet tall. You don't have to say he's less than 6 feet. I am 5'7". He is definitely 5 inches taller than me. He is 6 feet tall. Hilsey chimes in, says, Garrett Mitchell, types of twins. I'll take it over a certain quarterback. We will, I'm sure, at some point get to the latest in the Aaron Rodgers world as a leverage off is in place across the beat writers of the Green Bay Packers. But let's go to Todd and Franklin to address the first question we ask of you, the Scalzo and Bruss family. Which young core do you have more confidence in? Is it the young core of the Milwaukee Brewers who have helped drive this team to a 5-1 start, or the young core of the Green Bay Packers, of which we've yet to see in the Jordan Love era? Todd and Franklin, welcome to Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light. What do you got?
How about both?
Explain yourself.
That, well, the Packers, let's say Romeo Doubs, and Christian Watson. You know, they're second year, right?
Yep.
Wide receivers in the NFL, it takes a couple years to really get going. You know, I know you have the sporadic, you know, wonder receivers, but really, it takes a good year or two to really get into the offense, get into the NFL for them. And those two really came along last season. They really did, other than Romeo getting hurt. But and then you have Jordan Love. This is improving here. Okay. Well, this year and next year, I would say. And then youth in the major leagues, it always sparks.
Thank you for the call.
Todd and Franklin.
Is he in a plane?
I feel like the sound quality there didn't help. You could give us a call back. I don't know what was going on. Was he driving with the windows open there?
I have no idea.
He was flying a plane.
It wasn't that bad when we talked off the air. I can tell you that much. Okay. Something changed.
Todd, call back if your sound gets better there. I would force him to pick one, though.
And drink
Josh,
coffee.
Josh, you gotta do your job back there.
Drink a coffee.
Yeah, bring some energy.
All right. Thank you, Todd and Franklin. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Yes, Ron and the Key called that even before you did it, as far as you bouncing on that sound quality. Do you have more confidence in this young core on the Milwaukee Brewers or the Green Bay Packers? 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll talk with you, the Scalzo and Bruss family, next. Scalzo and Bruss, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Bruss.
Augusta's lost all credibility since they let Dude Perfect on there.
You're joking.
You didn't remember that from last year?
No.
They let Dude Perfect run around doing trick shots and goofy.
Get out of here.
I wish you would have reminded me of that.
That disappoints me.
Yeah. It's lost all its luster.
I'm not like a Dude Perfect hater, but I'm not a Dude Perfect lover.
I'm surprised you're not a Dude Perfect guy with your YouTube.
Oh, shut
no,
up.
No, I'm just saying with your promotion for YouTube.
Me like you're a DP guy.
I mean, it's right up my alley.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Bruss podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But the legend Bob Uecker on the call there for the Brewers Radio Network is the Brew Crew. Walk one off today. They climb to 5-1 with a home sweep in their opening home series at American Family Field of the New York Mets. You heard the call on Joey Weimer there. Weimer, Garrett Mitchell, Bryce Terang, three of the young studs who have helped the Brewers, quite frankly, like, just catch fire early on. And we want to know from you, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. With the Mitchell walk-off today, you had the Terang Grand Slam on the home opener on Monday. What young core do you have more confidence in? Like, which young core is going to make a bigger impact? Is it the young core for the Milwaukee Brewers, or is it the young core for the Green Bay Packers? We've got 608 chiming in here, saying, Crew win five in the first week. Do the Packers win five all year? I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't. I know what he's
trying
to do here.
It's TJ in the Berg.
What up, Tej? I think I saw this with Caitlin Clark on Iowa. It was like, she scored more points in the NCAA tournament than Iowa did in their entire football season. Like, those comps aren't like that fun to me because they don't make any sense. But I'll still take the over if I'm going to answer his question. Yes, the Packers, I think, win six games next year.
That's huge.
Thanks,
Adam. Going from 5-6.
Yep.
We welcome back in Todd and Franklin. Todd left the jet engine that he was standing next to. The sound, I'm hoping, is better now. Todd, you wanted to say you believed in both, and that's okay to believe in both, but if you had to pick one, which one do you have more confidence in, this young core of the Brewers or the young core of the Packers?
Packers. And I'll say that in baseball, and I've heard this, but in the beginning of the season, the first month or two of the season,
it takes that long for pitching to actually start to catch up. So you always see like a big jump in offense in the beginning of the season from baseball teams. And then the pitching really starts to take over. And I don't know if Brewers young hitters can last 162 games when the pitching really starts to take over in June, July, August, September. You know, it's...
And I get it. And,
I
think it's fair. Todd, real quick, what was going on before when you were on the air? Did you have the windows down?
Nope. I was on my my car's Bluetooth, and I don't know. I went by Mitchell Airport. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But
there you go.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you for the call. Last year, in the first six games of the season, the Milwaukee Brewers scored a combined
negative four runs.
Just trying to hit with a joke.
Joshy Seinfeld, isn't that new?
I love that I pointed to you just because I had to sneeze, and you passed the point to Josh.
At least I had an idea this time.
True. A combined 18 runs over the first six games of the season last year. The last five games of the Brewers season. Quick math, Benny. How many runs did they score?
Just do the last three. 7, 9, and 10. 19-7. 26.
Plus 11? Or plus 12?
38
runs in the last... in the last five games after being shut out on opening day against the Cubs to what last year, once again, was 18 runs over their first two series.
This is a little scary, though, because like you said, if they're bound to, you know, regress at some point.
Of course they are.
I mean, it's just very natural 162-game season. But the excitement is got like, you know, yesterday I'm watching, right? I'm watching back-to-back-to-back jacks and then a different back-to-back jack. In the same game, and like I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, the games are faster, right? Remember when I overreacted and I said I wasn't going to overreact to game one?
Game one, you said that the Brewers offense is screwed, basically, and you hated all the rule changes. Then by the end of the show, you liked the rule changes.
And by the end of game six here, where we're sitting 5-1, I love all the rule changes and the excitement. This is great.
We got to get him to stop watching baseball. His opinion is going to change game by game.
No, it's not.
For the end of time.
It changes from beginning of the show to end of the show. Changes from the first inning to the fourth inning. But that's what makes it fun. That's the Ben Brust experience right there. 800-990-3776. And I think the great connector of those two teams, right, Packers and the Brewers, is in years past, you always had Super Bowl or bust expectations for the Packers. You obviously want to win a World Series for this Brewers team, but I think the Brewers' goal is to win the NL Central, right? You want to win the division. I think the Packers' goal is to win the NFC North, and I think that's a doable goal. If you think that the over-under should be nine games or, you know, and you think this team's capable of winning 9-10 games, then, like, you think that they could win the division based on how weak that division is, and that's how I look at which one of these young cores is going to contribute the most in that world. Steve from Hartford chimes in, says, it's definitely the Brewers for me. I love the way this offense is looking so far, even though they have hit a lot of home runs so far this year. They seem like the team that will be able to play small ball and manufacture runs. That type of baseball is way more exciting to me.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not that much different than what the Brewers were last year. The Brewers were fourth in home runs in the MLB last year, 10th in runs scored. So, I mean, the recipe is still kind of home run right now. And so I like to think that, you know, hopefully they're going to manufacture runs in other ways like he's talking about. But we're being honest here. They're just hitting jacks right now.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at it. Mitchell showed bunt in the first pitch of that at bat. And then he got two strikes on him, and he ends up hitting a home run. So I think that they are going to implement it more. But to your point, Benny, that's today's MLB, is you need to be able to go long, and the Brew Crew have not had a problem going all the way so far this season.
They've been going long with more people on base so far this season.
Also true. Hilsey wants to know if that guy who, I'm sorry,
Todd
from Franklin was calling from a rocket to the moon. Pete McGuanago says maybe it was the 747, but who can say?
Be nice to Todd.
No, Todd owned it. He was like, yeah, I had on the Bluetooth and I was driving by the airport. He was clearly sitting right next to a plane, I think, there. Ron in the Key says it would have been such good content if Josh had just super quick hooked him again and didn't let him get his point in.
Or just flew the plane right away over him.
But Pete McGuanigo wants us to know that on Homer's show, on Homer and Tony, weekdays 2 to 4 on ESPN Milwaukee, they did Rain Man and besmirched Ben. A fan besmirched you, said, I'm smarter than Ben Bross, and then proceeded to bomb all of the questions except for two. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I love that I'm living rent-free in everyone's head that they think they're smarter than me, losers.
Is that the definition of rent-free?
Yeah, he's thinking about me when I am not thinking about him. He's trying to justify his IQ and brain knowledge based off of me. That's also a big bugaboo for him.
Brain knowledge. Brain knowledge.
Yes, sir.
I know one thing that's swimming up in that brain right now. Why don't you tell your friends, our friends, about BioSpectrum Hemp?
Oh, I mean, be my brain tonight, I'll tell you that much. After I get done with some hoops, got some 7 o'clock hoops tonight, BioSpectrum Hemp's Delta 9 THC gummies will get the job done. As you know, the dog treats, the CBD dog treats for Bruce are amazing. But again, when I get done playing hoops, it's more about the recovery too. I'm able to relax. I'm able to get to sleep early, which means my body's able to recover quicker. Not to mention you enjoy it a little bit. Like, you get to chill and relax on a Wednesday and make sure you're taking care of your body and get to sleep earlier. And so that's what I've really loved about BioSpectrum Hemp. They have all different products for me, and it's right here in Wisconsin. That's where they get their products. In Wisconsin. Wisconsin loves Wisconsin. I do know that. So all you got to do is go to BioSpectrumHemp.com and use code BRUST30 for 30% off. Do it, people. BioSpectrumHemp.com, BRUST30 for 30% off. Get the buzz and berry.
On Twitter, at Scalzo and Bruss, which young core of athletes? Interesting words to put in there, Joshy, in the midst of the poll. What young core of athletes do you believe in more in Wisconsin sports right now? Packers or Brewers? Do you have a guess?
It's definitely Brewers, prisoner of the moment.
So you looked?
No. Yes.
I mean, why lie in that spot?
I thought you were going to start counting my lies at the end of the show.
Ding, ding, ding. The reason why I know is because a comment on there, the first comment underneath says,
prisoner of the
moment. Such a prisoner of the moment poll, and it indeed is right now, but I'm okay with that. 78% more confident in the Brewers young core than the Packers young core, only 22% voting for the Green Bay Packers. Josh DiMaggio put together such a good 1 or 0 that we're going to have to cut some of these questions off the list, but it includes whether or not a baseball game can go too fast. We'll hit that, plus some other things like, I don't know, you believe in crystals and auras like Aaron Rodgers does? It's all coming up, 1 or 0, coming up next. And Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
All right, so first off, you're talking about stealing wives. Now, my wife left me for my best friend.
Hold on, slow down. Your wife left you for your best friend? How did that happen?
Well, they hung out a little bit, and I wasn't aware.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Walk-off fashion, Garrett Mitchell with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. It's called brilliantly by Bob Uecker on the Brewers Radio Network. 5-1 start for the Milwaukee Brewers, having won 5 straight, swept the Mets at American Family Field. We want to know from you, what young core do you have more confidence in? Is it the Packers young core? Is it the Brewers young core? Vote on Twitter at Scalzo and Russ. We'll get back to your calls and texts, but right now it's time to play some 1 or 0.
Are you a 1 or 0? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a 1 or a 0.
He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants for 1 or 0. Josh DiMaggio is your host. Yes, that's the question. We say 1 for yes, 0 for no. There is no gray area. Joshy, take it away.
Amid speculation about his impending trade, Aaron Rodgers was spotted for the first time in a couple of weeks leaving Topanga Rocks Crystal Shop in Los Angeles, walking out with a small bag in thong sandals, over-the-knee-length cut-off shorts, and aviator sunglasses. The Crystal Shop claims to carry world-class crystals at affordable prices from all across the globe.
9.75 out of 10. You just messed up crystals. Otherwise, that was amazing.
That was weird. I got choked on a little bit. 1-0. You believe crystals contain energies, auras, and other things like they claim.
I think whatever he bought did.
I'm going to go with 0 because I didn't know that it was a belief that crystals contained energies. So
there's like healing crystals, all sorts of stuff.
I'm not in the crystals world. I'm not into the I thought it was auroras, not auras. So, yeah, 0.
You think we could convince, if we went full sail on it, we could convince Ben to become a crystal guy?
I think once he were to experience the crystals, then he would become a full crystal guy. I'm a 1 here. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You'd think for thousands of years, thousands and thousands of years, you have all these different cultures and find different auras and energies and different healing things that aren't your traditional Western medicine, but that accomplish these different things, and you think it all, they're all just making it up.
Can we get some auras and crystals that cure cancer?
I mean, it depends who you ask, quite frankly. I think that that's a little bit of a resultant approach to the entirety of what we're talking about here. I don't think there's a... It's not cures necessarily, but like if you go to Sedona, Arizona, they've got energy vortexes that can accomplish different things, where if you stand in a certain place, it will send different vibrations through based on like how the earth is put together. So yeah, I'm a 1 here. I'm all about it. And you know what? You got to trust Aaron Rodgers. Whatever he's done has been working for a man who's won 4 MVPs and continues to play at a very high level late into his 30s.
Do you wear crystals?
Me?
Yeah.
Not a crystal guy, no.
No?
I've never believed anything less out of Greg Skelzel's mouth in that last 60 seconds. Aaron Rodgers, 1-0. Aaron Rodgers was buying a crystal gift for a lady friend.
0.
0. Yeah.
What was interesting to me was
he would be with the lady friend.
It was a pretty small bag he had in his hand, so it seemed like...
Yeah, you know. I mean, you know. Right?
What?
I mean, went to the crystal shop... Left with a small baggie. I don't know. I have suspicions.
1-0. Aaron Rodgers is gullible.
0. I think Aaron Rodgers is a very thought-out guy. I think he's very thoughtful. And do I think that he believes in things that others don't? Absolutely. But, like, honestly, what's the difference? If he feels like wearing a crystal around his neck gives him more energy, and because he thinks that it gives him more energy, like, what's the difference between that and you taking some supplement that, think, you know what I mean, that makes you feel like you are
double
doing whatever?
Placebo tests? That's the difference?
I guess, but again, you could go to a lot of Western medicine and say, is this really proven to accomplish this? Like, does this actually help you focus? Like, and you could do that for a whole lot of different medicines that we're taking. Yes.
Are you anti-Big Pharma like Aaron Rodgers?
No, I just think that... I'm
just curious.
I am of the belief that if this works for you, do it.
Do you.
I don't really care. Surround yourself with crystals, if you do whatever, if you drink ayahuasca in the woods, like, great. If that's going to help you get to where you need to go, awesome. If you're not hurting anybody, you should be allowed to do it. And you know what? Like... Maybe we'll crack some jokes, but people actually will get angry about this.
Josh asking the question 1-0, Aaron Rodgers is gullible. I'm going to answer. You got your point across by asking the question.
Yesterday, Cy Young winner Sandy Alcantara threw a complete game shutout for the Marlins.
Cy Young winner?
Nope.
Threw a complete game shutout for the Marlins in a game that took just an hour and 57 minutes to
Marlins
complete.
Pitcher.
1-0.
No, you didn't.
A baseball game can go too fast.
That's another lie added to the book.
Big time lie. I mean, again, pointless. Completely unnecessary.
I know. That's 2 so far.
I'm a 0 here. Baseball game can't go too fast. There's 162 of them. If you felt like, you know, and especially in a Marlins game, you're paying $10 or less to get into that stadium. If you feel like you didn't get your money worth, go back the next day and spend another $7 to go and move up to a closer seat if you need to. Like, 0. There's 162 of them. I love where we're at with baseball. I actually, you know what? I'm going to do it. Manfred's done a lot of dumb things. He deserves a round of applause, because these are pretty fundamental changes that have been made to baseball, especially the pitch clock. The fact that he was the guy that pulled the trigger on it, It's well done.
You know what's sad, Greg? We were at this par three contest like 3 years ago. And
yeah,
now we're not.
You didn't want to go to the Masters this year.
Big miss. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Josh.
God, imagine if we were in Augusta right now.
No, I want to be here. Well, we'd be talking to the Scalzo and Bruss family in Augusta.
We're at the Double Eagle Club doing the show right now. We had our guy Rob and Scott waiting with a cigar and a transfusion and a Bud Light. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, Josh.
This is just an aside here. When we were at the game on Monday, the quick pace made me less distracted by other things.
A million
percent. I was staring at my phone less for the times I was actually watching.
That's a good point.
I wasn't, because you have so much time to wander.
And otherwise, I was actually engaged with the pitch clock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It felt like a shot clock in basketball where you were engaged in every play.
When I was going to, when you start watching an inning, you're going to watch till there's a break in the play.
Right.
Versus it used to be I saw that pitch, look away.
Follow off your 60 seconds.
It feels like continuous play.
Yeah. According to a survey of 2,000 pet owners, Generation Z gets more joy from seeing their pets than seeing their partner more than any other generation. One or zero. You enjoy seeing your pet more than anyone else.
I'm going to go with one here. I mean, look, even if you've been married for 30 years, your spouse isn't going to be as happy as your dog is when you walk in. The dog just looks at you like you're the best person in the entire world, even if you're the worst, and doesn't know anything other than just to smile, wag his tail, and give you some kisses.
I'm a zero here. I mean, it's got to be my daughter. You think it's...
Eventually it won't be.
What do you mean?
She comes home all mad at you for, I don't know, setting some rules she doesn't like.
You're asking me the question of the moment right now.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Maybe one day, if you have a young kid, then you'll change your mind too.
I mean, actually, now that I think about it, we did play a little fun, woo game. And
when I walk into my house now, it's like the dog and my 2-year-old are competing to run and say hi to me.
Aww.
So I'll say zero. I'll give that one to the kid.
Good answer.
One or zero. Pets are better than friends.
One. I love Bruce.
I think it's a tough question because I think pets are friends, Joshy.
Thanks, Greg.
Yep. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776, the number to get into the show. Doc Rivers stunting for Joel Embiid to win the MVP after an impressive performance over the Celtics last night. Benny Brust will address that, especially since he had some screaming Sicilian last night.
Oh, gosh. It doesn't get any better than screaming Sicilian pizza. From our great friends at Palermo's, tons of different brands, but most importantly, just try the screaming Sicilian pizza if you haven't had it. And if you have had it, you're going to be thinking, you know what, I should probably stop right now at my local grocer's freezer, get myself a Boss Hog, get myself a Bestie's Revenge. The Bestie's Revenge cheese pizza won a ton of awards, and I've recently been on a big Bessie's kick. Lots of cheese, like 4 different cheeses, screaming brand, amazing. But not to mention, the Mambo Italiano
Mambo
always gets it done. Ultimate Deluxe. You find whatever type of pizza you like. They have it with Screamin' Thin and Crispy, Stuffed Crust Cheese, all the different kinds of pizza you will love. Find your screaming pleasure in your local grocery freezer.
Ben Brust will be screaming next. It's Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. See what I did.
What next is my wee-wee doing right now?
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
Dope weed guy. Weed guy. A weed guy. We love a weed guy. Weed guy. Weed guy. Weed guy. Weed.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The MVP race is over. I'm really, tonight we couldn't make shots. We had guys making shots, wood open shots. The man just scored half our points in the NBA game. And I'm biased, but the MVP race is over.
Philadelphia 76ers head coach Doc Rivers there. campaigning for his center, Joel Embiid, to win the NBA MVP after Embiid put up a monster game last night against the Boston Celtics. The Bucks can clinch home court advantage throughout the playoffs with a win tonight at Fiserv Forum. And I thought it was an interesting case that Doc tried to make, Ben.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it was just like, all right, Doc, cool, you're going to shout Joel Embiid out for helping your team win a game and have really efficient stats and declare him the MVP? Who gives a crap, dude? Who gives a crap about the MVP? If Coach Budenholzer went on the stage and talked about the MVP, he would do it in a matter in which, like, he would put the team, like, you know, hey, we're focused on getting the one seed. Giannis is obviously super important to our team, and we're focused on getting healthy at the right time so we can make a playoff run, but I think he's deserving of winning the MVP based off what he's meant to this team. Because guess what? Coach Bud knows that this team is deep. This team is going to win the playoffs, and an MVP doesn't freaking matter to Giannis, to the Bucks. All that matters is getting that one seed, and guess what? The funny thing is, sure, go ahead, celebrate that MVP, Joel, because you're not even going to end up seeing the Milwaukee Bucks ever a freaking again. They're not better than the Celtics. Sure, they beat them. Yeah, that happened. A seven-game series, not happening. Like, it's fascinating to me that a guy with a bad playoff record like Doc Rivers wants to die on the hill of, oh, yeah, this he's the MVP. Close the deal out. What about the time earlier in the season Giannis scored 54 points and was over half their team's points? Like, Giannis has done that stuff too. But guess what? The Bucks are so damn good, Giannis doesn't have to. He sleptwalked his way through a 33-minute triple-double yesterday and another win where they scored 140 points. Like, it's just, they're on different planets, the Bucks and the Sixers, and that's the best part about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a couple of things. One, like, Doc has won an NBA championship as a head coach.
I get that.
I mean, it was 15 years ago, but he did win it.
Blowing 3-1 leads now recently.
He has certainly had some disappointment there. But I was like, what else do you expect him to do? Now, I understand your point. I think it's a good point that, like, yeah, you're focused on MVP versus focusing on a championship.
When does a coach do that in any sport?
I mean, he's trying to have his guys back. He's a player's coach. His player just had a monster game. He's coming out. He's making it about him. He's celebrating him. I didn't have an issue with it. I do think your larger point holds. I think that you have to, in order to not be infuriated about the NBA MVP voting, you have to understand that a lot of it is narrative-based. You have to understand that Joel Embiid has an advantage because he is an MVP-level player who has not won an MVP yet, and he's going up against two other MVP-level players
with multiple
who have
MVPs.
Won MVPs in Jokic and Giannis. And Giannis won back-to-back, and Jokic has won, I think, just
I think they both have won back-to-back,
so,
if I'm,
like,
not mistaken.
I think that you could make a case for all three of those guys, if they don't win it, why they should win it.
Both back-to-back.
I tend to be on the side of, if you're the best player on the best team in the NBA, and you're on the same level as those other two guys, that should accelerate you over. I still think it's about team wins, but it's not the case. We know that's not the case with the NBA voters that are in it.
Jokic wouldn't have it if that was the case.
Correct. The case tends to be, if you're on that line and you haven't won one yet, then we're going to give it to you. And LeBron James could go back in history and make the argument that you should be a 9-time MVP.
Yeah, I hate the MVP award, to be completely honest, because that's the truth. LeBron was the most valuable player. Think about the scrubs he took. Think about how he took his team.
You could probably take it from post Kobe being MVP constantly in, like, what, 2010, all the way up to, like, Steph Curry stepping in as an MVP, and probably some years before and after, depending on who played well.
It's just like it's become, like you said, a narrative based award, and that's a problem. Like, it should. I don't even care about it anymore, right? Like, and I hope, for Aaron Rodgers' number one supporter's sake, sitting across from me, it matters more in football. But to me, the NBA one
absolutely matters more in football.
To me, the NBA one has just become meaningless to me, because what matters is when it vamps up and you got these seven-game series, home court advantage. Can the Milwaukee Bucks, with everything they've done to bring in Joe Ingles, to bring in Jay Crowder, who had a good game, Grayson Allen's, like, this is what they've built. They've built a team that has depth that they didn't have last year. So if they don't get it done, it's going to feel a little bit worse, because they've done a lot of the right things to put themselves in a situation to win this championship.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We at Germantown says, isn't it funny when Giannis puts up 28, 11, and 10, and nobody bats an eyelash yet? When Jokic does it, he wins back-to-back MVPs. I think that's a little heavy-handed. Like, the fact that Jokic has been in the MVP conversation these last three, 4 years, like he's on that level. If it was anybody outside of those top three, I think you could be like, what are we talking about here?
He has made his team better this year to the point where he likely will win a playoff series, if that makes sense. Like,
correct.
Before he was winning MVPs.
He didn't have Jamal Murray. Like, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the team is better now, and he's still producing.
Correct. Let's go to Phil in Madison. Phil, welcome to Scouts and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. What do you got?
Hey, Ben hates the MVP award as opposed to the Holy Cross Tournament MVP award.
Yeah, I don't care about that MVP award.
Phil, thank you. That's a great point because yesterday he started with the whole narrative of last year we literally didn't win a game. This year I battled and like put in all this work.
It was about the team.
Bring in the team trophy yesterday?
I didn't have it, but what I did do is when we were in the locker room, I had everyone wipe their sweat on the ball that was inside the trophy case.
That's
of
a lie.
My MVP.
You're lying again.
So every
Joshy, that's a third lie.
So
in the
every
show.
Single one of
a third most obvious lie in the show.
I did text them that though. They know how much they mean to me. They know how much they mean to me.
Yeah.
Damn you, Phil.
800-990-ESPN again. 800-990-3776. Chris in Middleton just says, "Wow, bitter Ben." Ron in the Key chimes in and says, "If I buy Greg a crystal bracelet or a necklace like Aaron Rodgers, will he wear it until Rodgers throws his next touchdown?" I would wear it on the show until he scores his next touchdown. I wouldn't wear it throughout all of my life.
Yeah, you'd be inspiring greatness into everyone around you, each and every teammate from 4 to 6.
I would leave it right in these lockers right here outside of the studio, and I would put it on every show, and I would be you'd be able to watch me in the stream there, Ron and the Key. However, I wouldn't wear it in everyday life. So if you're serious, let me know. I'll send you some good crystals that I like in terms of how they look. 800-990-3776, and 800-990-ESPN. We've got the poll posted on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust right now after the after the Brewers walk off the Mets earlier today. Garrett Mitchell with a walk-off home run. Whose young core do you have more confidence in making an impact for their team? Is it the Brewers' young core? Is it the Packers' young core? You can vote there on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust, or you can give us a call, text 800-990-3776. Plus, we've got an old-fashioned leverage off going on across Green Bay Packers beat writers as the latest in the Aaron Rodgers saga rolls on. It is Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.